10 years after Hurricane Katrina brought residents of the Gulf Coast to their knees, much of the physical damage in New Orleans has been repaired. Neighborhoods and communities rebuilt, schools, hospitals, restaurants reopened. But a deeper, invisible wound remains. Thousands of residents, and especially children, were traumatized by the storm and the displacement and struggle that followed. From WWNO in New Orleans, Lane Kaplan-Levinson brings us the story of how the storm unleashed a cascade of problems for one young man.
If only my bosses like my cooking as much as you two do.
In late August of 2005, Kendall Booker was in fifth grade watching cartoons. All of a sudden, the program blacked out and George Bush appeared on screen. Annoyed, Kendall flipped through the stations in search of another cartoon, but all he saw was the president.
My mind just snaps. Something really is going on, and it's serious to where this man is on like 50 channels. So I decided to listen, but at that time, I couldn't comprehend everything.
Soon after that, Kendall's grandfather came in the room and told him they were leaving. He was living with his grandpa at the time, and his siblings were all split up, staying with different family members. Kendall and his grandpa went to a Days Inn in Dallas, but he had no idea where his brothers and sisters were. On the hotel TVs, things did not look good back home.
Everybody's saying this is a direct hit. Like, I don't know what that was, like, until I seen so many people crying on the TV and, like, this channel that they had for so many lost children. And I'm just wondering, what my brothers or anything, my sister.
Kendall was only 9 years old, and his grandpa wasn't explaining when they were going back home. Most importantly, he wasn't explaining when Kendall could go back to school. He loved being in school.
It was so fun to learn at that time. Like I used to just mug the clock, like, it's 3 o'clock, you serious? Every Tuesday before Katrina, we used to get out for 11 o'clock. I hated them days.
Kendall hated those days because it meant he had to go home. He grew up with an abusive single mom who beat Kendall and his siblings. It got so bad that school and neighbors noticed and called Child Protective Services.
They came on a fire escape and they came through our window. I just see them grabbing my brother, taking him out the window. It's some white people. It's like, what the hell is going on?
This happened when he was 5. His mom went to jail, and he and his siblings were split up into different foster homes where the abuse continued.
I was just in the room all day. As soon as I come home from school, I just in the room all day like an inmate. He probably gave me a snack every once in a while, and I broke it down because I felt like I wasn't eating as much, so I saved it.
Kendall went from one foster home to another for 5 years until he finally moved in with his grandparents. This was shortly before Hurricane Katrina. Through all of this adversity, Kendall says he never had any behavioral problems. But when he evacuated to Texas, his grandpa kept making promises that he couldn't keep.
What I really was missing was school. Like, he keep telling me, I'm going to sign you off for school. Man. He never put me in school. That's one thing I'm thinking about. Where my family, that's another thing I'm thinking about. Like, all that's building up inside of me, so like that's how I flashed out the first time.
By flashing out, Kendall means his first violent episode. He describes it like a blackout. Alone in the hotel room, Kendall started throwing rocks he had brought from outside against the wall and through windows. He ripped the blankets, he broke the TV, but he has no memory of doing any of it.
It was just a bunch of things damaged in my hotel room. Everything was all over. I don't even know how they got me to the mental hospital. I can't even remember.
This marked the beginning of Kendall's flashouts that landed him in and out of mental institutions and jail for the next decade. It's like losing his only pillar of stability, the classroom, ended up unleashing years of pent-up trauma. Kendall experienced another trauma when he returned to New Orleans and saw an unrecognizable place.
It's like a tsunami came. Like, everything was everywhere. It looked like the whole world came down to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, and they didn't clean up afterwards. Like, it was obvious the city was dead.
This is what thousands of children returned to when they came home. Mental health professionals scrambled to help them cope with the shock.
Hi, my name is Beth Cooney. I'm the director of evidence-based practice for Project Fleur-de-Lis.
Fleur-de-Lis is an organization that was started in the wake of Hurricane Katrina to deal with long-term impacts of trauma that children experienced related to the storm.
We have kids that were floating on doors in the Ninth Ward here. We hear their stories, and they were 4 or 5, and they remember it. You know, they'll have tons of experiences, but they'll say that's the one that bothers them the most.
Cooney specializes in trauma-focused cognitive behavior therapy. The organization partners with schools, and together they identify students who may benefit from the program.
What we do is basically a trauma screening. So the way I kind of describe this to teachers, you know, sometimes you need to get your ears checked or your eyes checked. We're coming to kind of check how you're doing based on your experiences.
In addition to living through Katrina, many of these kids have experienced a high number of adverse childhood events, which many mental health providers refer to as ACEs.
Most of our kids have experienced, you know, 4 and 5 ACEs, having a mentally ill person live in your home, having experienced child abuse, physical abuse. We teach kids how to understand the things that they're experiencing because of trauma, things like nightmares, trouble sleeping, and we normalize that and say, you know, because you've experienced this traumatic event, this is normal.
Cooney says most of these kids also have post-traumatic stress disorder, and they're in a state of hypervigilance all the time. So they play games to learn how to relax and calm themselves down. Fleur-de-Lis' strategy to access these kids through schools is something the city at large is starting to embrace. One of the goals is to make the city's schools trauma-sensitive. Here's Charlotte Parent, Director of Health for the City of New Orleans.
Hopefully what happens is you begin to recognize when students are having issues, and instead of, you know, dealing with them in a way that is creating a bigger problem, and that this may be an acting out based on some sort of trauma versus the child is just a bad child.
This concept of asking what happened to you before judging behavior is just catching on with mental health providers around the country. And for a health department that usually focuses on issues like heart disease and diabetes, it means switching gears.
For us, what was identified by our community as the leading public health problem is violence. So we can't address and arrest our way out of this and put people in jail. You have to reach down further and hopefully shift the paradigm from the parenting pieces all the way through.
Parent says it's impossible to ignore the impacts of Hurricane Katrina when looking at the city's current struggle with gun violence and high incarceration rates. The storm was 10 years ago, but it's a daily presence and always will be.
The effects of Katrina, you know, for a lot of us, whether it's children, adults, if you lived through it and you were here and experienced that, there's no way that that's going away. It is a death. So, you know, imagine if someone close to you passed away unexpectedly and you were left to try to figure out what to do.
She says Kendall Hooker's story is a familiar one. Kendall is 20 now and just graduated high school in May. He's living what he calls post to post, sleeping on different friends' couches each night, looking for work, and trying to stay out of trouble. But he still often feels alone.
Honestly, you just really got to train yourself, because a counselor not going to be there when you're at that point of, like, really, like, flashing out. And I know the choices I make have consequences.
He has a 5-year plan. By 2020, he wants to be financially stable, he wants a place to live, and he wants children. But most importantly, he wants to feel safe.
I just want be in a better life to where I won't have to look back every time I step out, nothing like that. I want to really be comfortable with the life I live.